And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you. Start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun. Even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. It is season 2, episode 3. For the season, we're on episode like 63 or 4 at this point. So thank you so much for that. Today we have a very special guest in this Washington State native who really was on the track to play pro ball. And then, you know, some things happened and we were blessed with his songwriting and country music abilities. So I guess everything happens for a reason, right? I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming Court Carpenter to the show today. This conversation was really a breath of fresh air. And I think you'll see and hear why coming up in the next 40 minutes or so. It was nice to see somebody who is really on the top of the independent country music scene in Nashville talk so openly and freely about the struggles that it is to be an independent artist and what it takes to be successful in this genre, in this town. So, Court, I thank you for that. You're going to hear at the end of the episode, Court gets a little hoarse, but that's because he played a show earlier in the day for the first time and a full band show for first time in 2 years. So, I kept that all in there. And Court, I'm sorry if that's embarrassing to you, but it's really important to me that you get a full feel of the conversation and how it went and all that. And you still get great stuff in there, and it is what it is. It's the human interaction that I love here on this show so much, and I appreciate Court for being here and really doing the interview after a full band show in 2 years is, I'm sure no easy task. I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't do that kind of thing. So, without further ado, Court Carpenter.
Hey,
my man, how you doing?
What's going on, Court? How are you?
I'm good. Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, perfect. Loud and clear.
Perfect. Awesome. So what's going on, man? Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you bet. Not much. Just I'm in engulfed in baby life right now and trying to get my music done, and it's just been busy.
Yeah, yeah. How old's the baby?
Is 7 months now. Nice. And some change.
Your first one?
First one, yep.
Yeah, it's a ride, isn't it?
It is. It's something like you can never describe, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you think it's, you know, you, oh, it's going to be like this, but it's not, and it's even better. So it's cool.
Absolutely. You know, I have three myself, so I it's crazy how different they are, but how similar they are too, you know.
And for sure.
It's just crazy, you know, the kind of person you become too once you become a dad.
Absolutely. What ages are your kids?
11, 6, and 2.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
so we're busy. We're busy.
I can't imagine. Yeah. We're busy with one, so I think you got three.
Yeah, it's you know, it's all good though. You know, we have it a pretty well oiled machine here now, so
that's the way to do it, man. I love to hear that.
Yeah. So let's talk about you, because that's what we're here for. So why don't you tell us who you are, where you come from, how you started, and you know, we'll continue the conversation as that goes.
For sure. So my name's Court Carpenter. I'm from Washington State, so out in the Pacific Northwest. And I've been out in Nashville here about 10 years now. This is my 10th year. And I originally, you know, was a college baseball player and hoping to go professionally in that. And some things took a turn and I fell into music and started touring out there when I first started, I mean, locally playing. And then we started touring the Northwest a little bit. And then I met a girl who is now my wife, named Kelly. And when we met, I was living in Los Angeles. So we started dating long distance. And then about 6 months went by and I said, well, long distance kind of sucks. So I'm not tied down to anything in the Northwest. I'm going to move down to be with you. And the rest was history. So after about a year and a half living there, Kelly said, you know, there's not a big country music scene out here in LA, you know, that's accessible for new artists playing shows here and there. But she goes, let's get to Nashville. So we packed up our stuff and blindly moved to Nashville 10 years ago.
That's awesome. And it's the rest is kind of in history.
Yes, for sure. And it was a spontaneous move at the time. And you know, we love Nashville. We love being out here. And it's been a hell of a ride for the last 10 years, just in what I've accomplished in Nashville as an indie artist and, you know, opportunities that have come. And obviously I'm still chasing bigger dreams, but I'm really grateful for what I have accomplished.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, everything that I've seen and read about you and heard about you, like you are, you know, you're the echelon of independent country music artists in Nashville. Like,
well, I appreciate
you're the
that,
person
man.
Everybody talks about.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, there's a lot of great artists out there who aren't signed, but it's a taxing thing to be an indie artist these days because there's so much stuff you got to do, whether it's social media, it's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, and if you don't have those three done, it's in you. You know, it's always something, and without label support, it's definitely extremely, extremely difficult. And but you just got to keep the grind alive and put your head down and keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Now, so in this journey that you've been on, let's for argument's sake say the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
What did that look like for you? Like when you came to Nashville for the first time, did you have a clue what the hell you were getting into?
You know, I had a vision in my head of what I thought it was going to be. But, you know, we got here and I remember going down Broadway, right when we pulled into town for the first time ever. And I thought, man, this looks a lot different than I thought it was going to be. I thought Nashville, just never being here, was going to be like super, just in my mind, like, have you ever seen Roadhouse, the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like just out, you know, clubs like that where they weren't right next to each other. Bam, 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 bam. So that was eye opening to see, like, hey, there's a lot of people doing this and, you know, trying for their dreams and starting out down here and making fans. So that was an eye opening experience. But when I first got here, I was determined to get into one of the clubs. And no one replies in this business to any emails or text messages or phone calls. It's just one thing that I absolutely hate about the music business. And you're the exception. You know, you're in the business, and I appreciate your good communication skills. But
I think that comes because, you know, for what I do for, you know, my 9 to 5, and then seeing exactly what you just said, it's I feel you deeply.
for sure. So that's just a frustrating part of you know, when I first got here. But I ended up finding the sound man for one of the clubs, Tequila Cowboy. It's been here a long time. And I ended up chasing the guy. I'll never forget this. I couldn't find him. And then one of the staff members said, oh, yeah, his name is Crash. He went by Crash. And Crash just left about, you know, 10 minutes ago. So I sprinted out the door and walked down the street looking for this ponytail guy with the hat on. And I finally caught up to him. And I said, are you Crash? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, I introduced myself and told him we've been doing good in the Northwest before I moved out here, blah, blah, blah. But he was the first guy to give me a chance. And I'll have to say I'm grateful for that for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's funny about your image of Nashville before you got there, because, you know, my wife and I, we had gone there for our honeymoon, you know, now almost 4 years ago. And it was, I thought the exact same thing you did. You know, I had seen pictures of Lower Broadway. I thought it was much bigger and longer than it ended up being. And then, you know, now being in this, I really wish I would have known about the other places that were off of Broadway that have, you know, I hate for to sure. even say this out loud, but the, you know, the people that are there to really chase a dream.
Absolutely. And it's there's so many hidden spots in Nashville, and it's in the 10 years that I've been here, it's just, I mean, it does not look like the same city at all. And, yeah. and it's cool. Like it's a popping city, and it's great. But it's wild how much it has changed. So that's another eye-opening thing when people come here. Like you said, they're not aware of how big or small a place is. And then you get there like, huh? So it's crazy.
So over the last 10 years, you're obviously releasing music and doing all that. How long did it take you from when you arrived to Nashville to your first, I guess, your first release, whether it was a single or an EP or whatever, as a Nashville artist?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We came out here in 2012, and I think it was like the fall of 2012 or late summer or something. And within a year, I established myself and said, hey, I got to get music out there. Cause you know, I personally am a very competitive guy. You know, I played sports my whole life and Division I baseball player. And my family has been, you know, college football players and cheerleading coaches and blah, blah, blah. And it's just in my blood to say, okay, I got to get this thing rolling. So I really quickly somehow got connected with a company in town, and they offered this music video and a 7-song EP, what I could afford at the time. And they picked songs up for me, because at that time I wasn't writing my own music really. So they picked up some songs and presented to me, and I picked out of this catalog, and we ended up releasing my first EP called Those Nights These Days in 2013. And I'll tell you what, a few of those songs are still fan favorites today. So I'm super proud of how I started the journey and how I've continued to get better and better, getting better music out there. But I try to put out quality no matter, you know, what year it was. And I'm just, you know, I've been super happy with what I've done in that regard.
Yeah, no. And like what you've put out is just great. And, you know, it, like you said, it has gotten better over time, and you can hear it. You can hear it in each release. You know,
it's a mature, like a lot of people will say, oh, hey, I love sing that song, or I want to hear that song back on that EP. And I'm like, well, you know, I always have to give them a disclaimer. I say, well, let's listen to some of my new stuff too, because my voice has matured so much over 10 years. And it's, you know, it's a lot of growth and practice and repetition. So I think I've played over, you know, well over 1,000 shows probably, in the past 10 years, probably way more than that, but we were averaging about 150 a year That's playing Broadway and getting out on the road independently and wherever. But yeah, I just definitely encourage people to listen to my new stuff before my old stuff. You know, I think the old stuff is great, but it's still, I would love to re-record, you know, those songs just in a new key and really show them my vocals on that.
Yeah. So when you do sit down to write your music or whatever, how long is it taking you to get it to where you want it to be?
Like just to getting a song written?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, right now I've been involved in a lot of Zoom writes just because of COVID and, you know, I got a baby at home and it's just easier for me helping with the baby and whatnot. But, anytime you get with the co-writers, I don't usually write by myself. I'm not good at that part yet. But we get with co-writers and, it's usually a 3 to 4 hour block. So you usually say, okay, we're going to go 11 to 3 today or 10 to 2. And within 4 hours, you should usually 95% of the time you'll get a song. And what happens is one of the people on the right will say, okay, I'll put a track to this and a scratch demo. And within 24 hours, you'll have your song and a demo version, which you can start practicing to, or take that into the studio and say, okay, this is what my song sounds like. I want you guys to work on it like this. So that's kind of the process.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, and do you ever have times where you have those and it just, you know, falls to hell and it's just not what you were hoping for?
Oh yeah, that happens a lot. And it's, you know, you can be excited about an idea. It happened the other day where I brought an idea to the plate and we just couldn't land on the right thing. And we still wrote a great song, but it wasn't one I could see myself cutting, you know, it wasn't exactly right. The vibe I was going for. And it's hard, going into a write and saying, or going into writing and getting exactly every time what you want, like you said. But a lot of times I work with a lot of the same writers that have been working with me, and we'll add new people in here and there to join us. But once you get someone like one of my favorite writers, right, with his name's Ryan Sorstad, and he's been with me for a lot of years, and I have a lot of Ryan cuts. But we'll bring in people to write with Ryan and I, and Ryan kind of knows my style, and that's what helps a lot in the songwriting process.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you're bringing these ideas in, are you taking them from your personal everyday stuff, or sometimes are they just ideas that you think would make a good song?
Yeah, I think it's both. I always try to, like, when I'm out in public or watching TV or something, I'll have an idea. I'll say, oh, that sounded like a cool idea, or hey, I'm going through a hard time, let's write about that. Like one of my recent releases last year was called The Road, and we wrote it specifically for my newborn 5 months before he was born. And it's kind of a song about, I brought it into the co-write and said, I want to write a song talking to my son, telling him how things can get difficult, but you got to stay on the path and blah, blah, blah. And it came out and we got The Road out of it. And it's really a powerful song if you take a listen to it. And that's kind of how I like to do it. I like to bring an idea in and try to run with it that way.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. You know, to write from life experiences always makes it more authentic too.
For sure. And sometimes it does happen where you don't have something of your own. And that always makes it for me, if I can't relate to it, I'm like, I instantly in the back of my head, oh, I can't relate to this. So I don't really want to cut it, you know, or go all in with it, but it happens sometimes. And luckily there's writers out there that, you know, write specifically for the need at hand. So.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. So when you're out doing your thing on the road and stuff like that, where are you going? Where do you tend to have a bigger following? Where haven't you been that you want to get to?
Sure. We've been a lot of places getting in our old, back in 2012, getting on our old Tahoe and with our big trailer with my name on the side of it and going to Louisiana, to Chicago, to Florida, blah, blah, blah. But it's, we've been a lot of places. My hometown fan base in the Pacific Northwest out in that region is obviously my best fan base because they're hometowners.
Yeah.
But we do really well in Chicago area, Ohio, Florida, and Nashville. You know, we got people here. But there's a couple hot spots like Chicago or the Northwest and Florida that we tend to like. New York is another one that we're gaining some steam in.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm glad you kind of brought up Chicago, because I was going to bring her up because she's the reason why you and I are talking. But you have a connection with my friend Bobby from Backstage Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that all come to be? Because, I mean, she's told me her story, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, we met probably a year ago, and I'm pretty sure I was one of her first guests on her Instagram interviewer thing. And yeah. I think that was early last year. Yeah, right before the road, actually. So that's kind of, you know, we got to talking online, and I believe that's how Bobby and I struck a friendship.
Yeah, you know, and then she wrote that great article that was just in Music Row magazine about you, which was great.
Yeah, she's incredible. I mean, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people trying to do what she's doing, and Bobby stands out because she gets it done. She's getting great, you know, feedback from everybody, and she's just an amazing person. So
yeah,
I'm super happy for her, and can't wait to work with her again. And hopefully next time we're in Chicago, we can hook up and have some talk music.
Yeah, we, this whole industry is pretty cutthroat. And, you know, there's enough of us that do this sort of thing, but it's not enough of us to really get crazy. But, you know, it is that. And, you know, for me, Bobby has become like a sister to me in this whole thing. And, you know, I owe her a ton, and that's why I wanted to bring it up with you to see, you know, how that all went, because, you know, the article she wrote for you was just incredible.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job, and it was really cool to be featured in Music Row magazine. It turned out really cool. Hopefully some people read it, you know, and saw the great work that Bobby put into that. So
yeah,
I'm super proud of it and super grateful for her doing that.
Yeah, you know, and I tell her all the time, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up, because you can speak to it too. You know, it's crazy how Chicago has become a country music hotbed.
For sure. It's one of the, I think it's one of the main spots in the country right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy the stuff I see that shows up in Chicago and the bands that are going there and, you know, things like that. And it's, you know, I thought Boston over the last 10 years has really become, you know, a country music hub, but we don't hold a candle compared to what Chicago's doing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think it has to big props go out to Ed Warren, who is a big player in the country industry. He owns Joe's and Bub Cities and those kind of places in Chicago area, and is working with some new spots as well. And he just, you know, people know him, and he's got a great reputation, and that's why he's bringing in the big acts. You know, Joe's on Weed Street in Chicago is a big one. I've never played that one. I played Joe's live, but hopefully Ed will have me at Joe's on Weed sometime, because it's a bucket list for me.
Yeah. Speaking of bucket list places, have you been up here into the Northeast to play?
You know, I have only been – I've been to – I haven't been to Boston area. I've gotten a lot of requests to come play at a place called Loretta's out there. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
I am. Yes.
But we have a lot of fans out there that have been writing me for years. And what it comes down to is routing. So And if a club is paying this much money and that barely puts a cheeseburger in your pocket, you know, it's not, yeah, you just can't do it. And that's the thing, that it's a shame, because I feel like a lot of clubs try to underpay the artists who are coming out there, and I get it. It's all, you know, everyone's trying to make money out there, but to get quality acts, I think that has to be fixed a little bit in some areas. Cause
yeah,
I'm not saying that about Boston. I'm saying that anywhere in the country. because we're not able to go to places like that without a strong guarantee, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I've been helping out some local acts and, you know, other acts like you that I've been talking to, you know, and that keeps being the brick wall that I keep hitting to get these guys up here. It just doesn't make sense for them. And I get it. You know what I mean? I totally get it, you know, but it sucks because you know, people are missing out.
Yeah. And it's no knock on the, I mean, some clubs just can't afford it. I totally get that.
Absolutely.
And that's just it's part of the problem. And it's on both sides, but that's why as an indie artist, it's just so tough because you're doing your best to please your fans. And basically you can't please them all the time. So you hold online shows or say, hey, come visit us in Nashville or something like that. But, you know, we're trying to get out there as many places as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you are home, do you try to play? I know you've got a little one and all that. But trust me, I know it makes it hard. But, you know, how often are you getting out there in town to play?
In Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay, so today, February 7th is today, was my first show as a full band in Nashville in over 2 years.
Wow.
So when the pandemic hit, everything was shut down, right? And, you know, we're careful and all that stuff. And over the last year, I haven't been playing downtown because I've been focusing on my original music and all that. But recently I've, I just said, hey, I gotta keep the vocals sharp, and just getting out there to play here and there is important. So we got the band together, we got an offer just last minute, a few days ago, and I said, okay, let's do it. And we played down at Whiskey Row, Dierks Bentley spot today, just a morning show. And it was a lot of fun. Good to be back on stage. But other than that, we've been just doing shows at the Listening Room about once a month. Nice. For the last few months, and just doing a lot of acoustic stuff.
Yeah. You know, and that's great too. You know, you gotta do whatever's best for you at the end of the day.
For sure.
So I see that you are hitting the Bluebird in March. Is that still a go?
Yes, sir. It's the first time I've ever played the Bluebird. It's obviously a bucket list, and a lot of my friends, and I know people who, you know, aren't even in Nashville, play the Bluebird, and for whatever reason they got to play. But this past couple months ago, I communicated with them and they offered me a spot. So instead of a writer's round, which is a Bluebird tradition where there's, you know, three or four artists, they're doing a Sunday spotlight with me. So I'm going to be able to play with either a three piece or my full band. And we're going to have an hour show just of our music, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's great. And for a first time, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I thought that was the way to go. There's another way to get into the Bluebird, and you have to go through this audition process and, you know, whatever that entails. But that's to get into the writer's round. But I thought, just like you said, it would be cool to really get my music out there to the guests, and it's a full hour. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Now, is it the show you're doing, is it one of those things where, you know, you hear the stories about the Bluebird where you have to get on right when tickets go on sale, or, you know, show up, you know, at 4 a.m. and wait? Is that the kind of show you're doing, or is this something you can buy tickets in advance for?
So I think from what I read in the contract is they're releasing tickets like a week in advance. And the Bluebird right now is also at half capacity, from what I understand, just because of the COVID rules and all that. So it is going to, I don't know how many tickets are going to be available, but they will go on sale a week before. So I think it's the 13th or something.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And that's going to be a dream come true.
Yes, for sure. I appreciate you saying that. It's going to be a cool night for sure.
Yeah. Now, do you have other moments in your career so far that have been like bucket list moments that, you know, you're content that you were able to do them?
Yeah. One of them being right before 2020's crappy year, we were on a roll, and, you know, we had a lot of things going for us. Just a lot of great momentum started. And we were out in the Northwest, which is my home. And we got an opportunity to play the Watershed Festival in the Gorge, which is the big one out there. So we were on the Next from Nashville stage, the Live Nation Next from Nashville, and shared the stage with a lot of great artists before and after me. And that was really a cool moment because growing up, I've been to a lot of festivals, not even country. I saw Tom Petty play there. I went to some EDM festivals there. I've seen whoever. And it was just cool to like be on a lineup like that and say, oh, hey, I'm at the Gorge this weekend playing. And we had a big fan turnout. And that was really a cool moment for me. And I'm hoping to get the opportunity to do that again sometime.
Yeah. You know, the Gorge is one of those like top five venues in the country that I want to go to.
Gotta do it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Between them and Red Rocks, those are like the top two.
For sure. So Red Rocks is, I've never been there. Tyler, my guitarist, has played there with some of his artists, but incredible venue, from just looking at photos and all that stuff. The thing about the Gorge is the backdrop, the scenery is so unbelievable. It really just takes your breath away. You know, you see the Columbia River and you see these, I mean, it's just insane. So if you ever get the chance, man, you got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that we've kind of talked about your career and your music and all that, I need to ask, because I'm a big baseball guy.
Sure.
What was that like playing college ball for real?
It was, it was what I always wanted to do. I grew up in a sports family, like I said, and baseball, football, and basketball were my interests, and that's what I excelled in. And I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship opportunities for baseball, and ran with that. So playing college ball was super, that's a dream come true in itself. Not a lot of people get to do that, especially at the Division I level, which I was, grateful for that. But it's just, growing up as a ball player or a baseball fan, just being able to start I was a first baseman, be a first baseman and start for a D1 program was really something else. So, it just was an incredible time as well.
Yeah. Now, where did you go? Portland?
Yeah. So I started at Oregon State. Okay. I got some offers from like Washington State, but at the time, and I'll just throw this out there, I had my high school girlfriend and didn't want to be across the state at the time. So the next best thing was Oregon State, which was 2.5-3 hours from my house, my hometown, while she was a grade behind me. So went on a walk-on situation instead of a scholarship, which I had in the east of the mountains. And it didn't work out. So after the first semester, I transferred back home. And of course, right at, that same year, things fell apart between us. But I was in a local program, a JUCO program called Lower Columbia College, which is very strong out there. And ended up doing very well there, and then transferred to University of Portland after 2 years.
Nice. And you played first base. From the stats that I've seen, you're pretty damn good.
Well, I'd like to think I was, did well. I think I got, all conference and West Coast Conference, which is like, Gonzaga. I'm from Portland, or University of Portland, Pepperdine, all those schools. We played all the big dogs, and I excelled there. So I'm happy with how my career went. Unfortunately, I didn't get to be a professional baseball player like I was hoping to, but some unfortunate circumstances happened with an injury, and then I kind of fell into the music thing. So, yeah. Man, I'll tell you, it's been a ride ever since I was little, just, excelling in sports, now doing this music career. It's kind of a really cool story.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you play music while you were in high school and all that?
No. So, like, I was in the orchestra. Our friend was the orchestra teacher. My parents are teachers at the school, and their friend taught orchestra, and he was a genius. And so my brother and I were, he's 6 years older than I, but we played the string bass in the orchestra. And that was the only music I ever did. I never sang in front of anyone until I was 20 or 21. You know, I was afraid. And maybe it was after that, maybe 23. And I started singing locally at like karaoke bars and stuff like that. And that's when some things started happening. People started liking what I was doing, and that's kind of how that went.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So when did you start writing songs in there?
Yeah. So when I first started in Washington, I think that was the year after I graduated college. So 2011, started writing songs just with some local songwriters, and, you know, thought it was fun, but wasn't any good at it at that point. And that's, you know, until I would say 2015, I didn't write a lot of my own music at all. I was getting songs from other writers and putting my artist name behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the writing started in about 2015, and we've really tried getting more and more each year.
That's awesome. That's really great. Now, what do you have planned? Like, what does 2022 look like for you when it comes to music, when it comes to touring, all of that?
Yeah, so this year is a big year because this spring I'll be releasing a full-length album, my first full-length album. And I've released several EPs over the last year or 10 years, and probably, I think, over 40 songs total. So lots of singles, EPs. But this is special because I'm really trying to, hone in my sound, the Court Carpenter sound, with this compilation of music. And we're really writing for that, because over the years, I've been getting songs from other people or releasing singles, which don't always coincide with the last one.
Yeah.
Excuse me, my voice is going out for my show earlier today. One sec. Excuse me. So now we're just, you know, looking forward to that spring release and going from there.
Nice. Now, is touring this going to be, well, is this going to be all new music, or is it stuff that we've already heard?
All new music, and it will have 10 songs, and we're really trying to make it the best we can. I'm working with two new producers who are great guys. Shout out to Taylor and Lucas, who are trailblazers in the industry here, young guys. So we're teamed up with them, and we're just going to try to put the best album together as we can that really represents who I am.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear that. And, you know, hopefully we'll get you up here into New England sooner rather than later.
Yes, I would love that. And that brings me to say that our touring will, you know, we're going to be on the road here and there. And we're just, our dates are starting to fall into place. We are working on a Cleveland date. How close is that to you guys?
Oh,
pretty far still, right?
Yeah. I think I want to say it's like a 12-hour drive.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a long way.
Yeah, because I'm about an hour south of Boston.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm from where I currently live, I'm about 3 hours from Manhattan.
Okay.
Just to kind of give you an idea.
Are you close to Peekskill, New York at all?
Where in New York is that? Is that upstate?
It's over near West Point.
Okay, then I'm actually not too bad. Not too bad at all.
We have a festival. Sometimes we have the last few years headlined it in that area.
Oh, okay.
In September.
That's not actually really bad at all. From where I am.
Right on. Well, hopefully we can get it in the Boston area though soon, because we'd love to be there.
Absolutely. I mean, you're close enough. You know, you never know what could happen.
For sure.
So now my last couple of things, that I want to get out to you. And again, I appreciate your time, and I know timing is tough with the newborn and all that stuff. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here.
Oh, and, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. So I got two things. Obviously they have to be about boots and whiskey.
Yes.
So if you wear cowboy boots, who are you wearing or what are you wearing? And if you like whiskey or drink whiskey, what is your whiskey of choice?
So, I would wear Ariat boots. If that's, you're talking brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the boots I have. And I used to wear them all the time, but over the years, my, feet have given up on me. So I've had to move to a tennis shoe usually.
Yeah.
I do love the cowboy boots though. Ariat's my faves. And regarding whiskey, man, does bourbon count? Or are you talking just
yeah,
whiskey?
Yeah. Okay. Nope. Yeah.
All right. I'm a big Woodford Reserve fan. I love that. But I'm not that picky, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've started to dabble in all kinds of different whiskeys and bourbons, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm not picky either.
Yeah. I think they're all good in their own way. I mean, some of them definitely are a little stronger than others, but Blanton's is always a good one I love.
Yeah. Yeah. Blanton's is good. You know, I have a bottle of Yellowstone here that I haven't cracked open yet, but I hear great things about. So.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
but those are the two choices for me. It's just not picky though.
No. I mean, everything's good, especially when it's whiskey.
That's right.
So again, thank you so much for being here. You know, I really can't tell you how much I appreciate your time and everything. And I look forward to seeing you hopefully sooner rather than later. And talking to you again as your career goes, as mine goes, you know, and sticking together and
absolutely
having conversations.
And I think that's really cool that you say that. Cause just before we go is I've been following you now for a while and seeing your posts, and you're really, you're kind of, you know, you're just like Bobby and you're making things happen. I love that. I love to see that for you. And it's, I encourage everyone listening out there to this, you gotta follow all the boots and whiskey stuff and, show them some love. Cause they're the real deal.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Anytime. And hope, like you said, hopefully we can get together soon again and, reconnect.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I talk about, you know, getting me to Nashville, hopefully before the end of the year too. To do some things. So, you know,
absolutely.
If I'm in town and you're in town, it'd probably, you know, the way our schedules are, it's probably the easiest way to do things.
For sure. We'll have to get a beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now we'll have to get some whiskey. That's how about that.
Yeah. There you yeah. Go. We only drink Miller Lite when it's, you know.
Yeah. when the whiskey's out.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please thank your wife for me, because I know, you know, this, you know, it's taxing, and I, you know, we appreciate her just as much as we appreciate you.
I'll definitely tell her, man. I appreciate you guys, and good luck with the family, and we'll see you in Nashville soon. All right, buddy.
Thanks. You too, man.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Our conversation with Court Carpenter. What a great guy. You know, I can't thank his wife enough for allowing the time to sit down and talk with us. I know having a baby is tough, especially a baby that's less than a year old. You know, there's so much going on. So Kelly, thank you so much to you for that. You know, it's not easy being a musician's wife, I'm sure. You know, always having your husband and father of your son always somewhere doing something and talking to someone. So, you know, we here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast really appreciate your sacrifice and you know, allowing Court to live his dreams and, you know, all that stuff. So thank you so much for that. I really enjoyed this conversation. It was great. It was, like I said at the top of the show, it was nice to hear. It was really refreshing to hear somebody talk about the industry the way it is, you know, especially somebody at the top of their game, you know, because Court really is. So, you know, with that, thank you, Court. I hope you've all enjoyed this conversation as much as I had having it. So, like always, guys, thank you so much for all your support. I can't thank Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company, Rowdy Roads, American Grit and Grace, Afterglow Boutique enough. Thank you all so much for your love and support, and for everybody for the likes, the comments, the shares, the listens. You know, thank you so much. We got some stuff coming up. February is almost over. We have a really, I don't want to say too much, but we have a huge, huge guest next week, as long as the schedule still allows. I'm not saying too much about that, but I'll tell you this. Once the green light happens for the conversation later this week that I'll be having with this person, as soon as that's over, I'm probably going to tease the hell out of it for 3 or 4 days. Probably going to do it. I'll tell you I'm not telling you anything. Just going to have to stay tuned. So again, Court, thank you so much. Everybody, until next week, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Enjoy your week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Good night.